It's time to get the world wrapped now. And Lee Mottershead is our man over in the UK who has had a wonderful weekend in Paris with a remarkable weekend of racing featuring the Arc and plenty of headlines surrounding it. And it's great to have a chat to Racing Post Lee Mottershead. Lee, good morning. Our time. What a phenomenal weekend of racing and a lot of drama as well.
Yeah, great racing. Tremendous stories if you're someone like me doing my job. It wasn't just the stuff that was happening on the track, it was the stuff off it as well. But the main thing, of course, on Arc weekend is the Arc itself. And we got an Arc that probably wasn't a vintage Arc in terms of the quality of the race, but it delivered a tremendous story because I can't really convey enough the affection in which trainer Sir Mark Prescott is held, particularly in Britain. He's a 74-year-old guy who's had a license since 1970. He's far and away the best storyteller in British horse racing. He's trained some of Britain's best trainers. He's an incredibly successful trainer himself, but this was his biggest win. So much affection for him. One of the sights I will long remember is seeing Jean-Claude Rouget, who trained the second horse for Denny, was sobbing in the winner's enclosure, not sobbing because he had just been beaten in the Arc, but sobbing with joy because he was so happy that his friend Sir Mark Prescott had won the biggest race of his life in the Arc. There was a real feel-good factor about the Arc, and the winner likes to have one more run in the Japan Cup before she heads off to become a mother.
Gee, she's had a meteoric rise, six Group 1s in a row as well. And for someone who previously had been a little reluctant to travel, it's a worldwide odyssey now for Sir Mark Prescott.
Yeah, he seems remarkably keen to go to Japan. A man who he himself admitted that he goes to continental Europe more for bullfights than horse races. He's a man with some very interesting leisure pursuits. But he's not a man who enjoys travelling for horse racing. That's his horses do the talking for him. But the owner, Kirsten Rousing, who's an owner breeder of enormous success and long standing, was pretty adamant that Sir Mark would go. And Sir Mark knows her as Miss Rousing. And when Miss Rousing said, "You're going, Sir Mark," I think Sir Mark felt he had little choice. But it was a decision that bore great dividends, and there really was enormous delight. I thought that it was, for British racegoers and British racing fans, it was up there with Dancing Braves Arc in 1986 and an Able Second Arc. There was such a lot of goodwill towards him because as a trainer, he has had Group 1 winners. You know, he's won Group 1s in Britain and in France, and he's had a classic winner in France with Confidential Lady in the Prix de Diane, but he's most known as a trainer who's brilliant at getting horses handicapped for those big races like the Ebor and the Cambridgeshire. He's the sort of trainer who can get a horse into a handicap 2 stone well in, and then that horse will rack up a sequence. He won once a horse called Masapi, won 7 races in 17 days, which had never been done here before, anything like that. So he's a brilliant planner, but he maybe hasn't had as many superb horses as his talent is there, because he never has more than 50 horses in his stables by choice. But now he's got one in Alpinista, and great for the jockey too, Luke Morris, who again isn't a jockey that we associate winning races like the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, but he got it absolutely right on Sunday.
And you mentioned he beat Verdeni, and France Gallop and maybe the race itself dodged a bullet with Verdeni getting beaten, because if Christophe Soumillon had won the Arc after the incident that had occurred the day before, it would have been worldwide headlines. And the fallout continues from that elbow, which caused one of his fellow jockeys to fall to the ground. And he split ways with the Aga Khan now, I believe.
Yeah, he's been given the elbow by the Aga Khan on Tuesday, Michael. It was sort of inevitable. Anyone who saw the video footage of what happened on Friday at Saint-Cloud Racecourse, where Christophe Soumillon elbowed Ross Ryan out of the saddle. Now, he said it wasn't an intentional thing to do, and some other professional jockeys, past and present, have come out and said it was basically a race-riding manoeuvre that went wrong. I think there was still a sense in which Soumillon was doomed. On Saturday at Longchamp, I first spoke to Olivier Deloire, the chief executive of France Gallo, who was pretty clear in saying that they were uncomfortable with Simeon being able to ride on Saturday, but there was nothing in the rules that they could use to stop him riding at Longchamp. I'd spoken to David Redvers, who is a major international racing figure, racing manager for Sheikh Fahd Qatar Racing, but in his own capacity, as a separate owner for himself, he had a horse that Simeon was riding in a Group 1 on Sunday. He told me on Friday night he didn't want Simeon riding that horse, but he was powerless to stop that happening. But I think on Saturday, when Princess Zahra Aga Khan, the Aga's daughter, who's a real key figure in that operation now, she described Simeon's performance on Friday as an unconscionable act, unthinkable act. And I think when she then said that she couldn't confirm he would remain in his job, it was pretty obvious he was doomed. He might well still ride horses for Aga Khan in the future, perhaps horses like Vedeni, who stays in training, but he won't have that contract. I think it was just felt by the Aga Khan's operation, an operation that is at its biggest in France. The Aga Khan's importance to French racing can't be overstated. I think they just felt the look for them of Simeon being their retained jockey in future would have been too difficult. So this was his second stint as the Aga's main rider. It's now over. He faces a two-month ban. And racing authorities as well now, Michael, face a question of what would they do in similar circumstances. And the truth is, at the moment, they would have to do as France Gallo did. There's been an international racing conference in Paris taking place this week, the BHA's Brandt Dunche. But again, if they were in a similar position to France Gallo, they would have nothing in their rules to stop Simeon riding the following day. And I think racing authorities now will look at that. They'll try to balance how do we satisfy an individual's right to appeal against a punishment with the optics of a jockey who has committed a very severe act being allowed to continue to ride for the next couple of weeks. It's a tricky one, but I think it's one now that racing authorities across the world will be looking at carefully.
From an Australian perspective, the other storyline out of the ARC weekend was obviously very elegant, frustrating once again, just no luck in a slowly run race. But Connections, after having a chat to Chris Waller, are deciding to give her one more throw at the stumps.
Yeah, it's interesting that's come from a conversation with Chris Waller, because that, I think, must have been really important advice that they got from Chris. Because on Saturday, the mood was really down, Michael. You know, she was running in a race that wasn't a great Group 1. It was nothing like as good as the ARC on Sunday, which, of course, she couldn't get into. And Mark Zahra had come across to ride. Brace, of course, he hadn't come across to watch. He decided against travelling. And not really much right. What much went right for her. She was stuck on the fence in a slowly run race. The trainer, Francis Graffard, said afterwards in a very dejected way, everything we didn't want to happen happened. For whatever reason, things just didn't pan out. For I've got to say, I did think that when she got daylight up the home straight, there didn't seem to be as much of a response as you would have wanted to see. And I was disappointed and deflated, but they are cracking on to ask her. I think I said on the programme last week, I thought that was a race that looked like a good fit for her. And if she can get a race with a proper gallop and she can get more daylight, because I think we know from a day's racing in Australia, she's a horse that doesn't really thrive on being stuck on a fence. She likes a bit of room to race in, and maybe she can bounce back. But if you look at the betting over here on that race, the Kitco British Champion fillies and mare stakes, you can get 33-1 about Very Elegant at the moment. So bookmakers here don't think she'll bounce back, but who knows? It'd be great if there could be one happy chapter to end this story.
Yeah, we'd just like her to see run in a race with his speed, and she has every opportunity. I think that would be lovely to see. Hey, Lethal, as always, outstanding to get your wrap, and we'll catch up next week as we count down to the Champions Day, and then also we'll count down to seeing you here in Australia for the Carnival, which is not far away indeed.
Comes along really quickly. Looking forward to it, Michael.